Scripture reading this morning is John 18:15-18. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did the other disciple. As this disciple was known to the high priest, he entered the court of the high priest along with Jesus. While Peter stood outside at the door, so the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the maid who kept the door and brought Peter in. Maid who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of the man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." Now the servants and the officers made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing and warming themselves, Peter also with them, standing and warming himself. This ends the scripture reading.
Thank you. And welcome. We're continuing our series this morning on fear and anxiety, and today we are talking about the fear surrounding failure and the fear of failure. And I confess to you that I have failed this morning, because that was not the scripture. That was not the scripture that we would be talking about. Actually, that's not entirely true. That is not the entirety of the scripture that we are going to be talking about. So go ahead and grab those Bibles, open them back up. And we're going to go back to John 18. And we're going to continue. We're going to jump ahead a little bit to verse 25. That's on page 942 in your pew Bible. And he says, "Now, Simon, now we've just ended with Peter standing there warming himself, and someone comes up and says, 'Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself.' They said to him, 'Are you not also one of his disciples?' He denied it and said, 'I am not.' One of the other servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked, 'Did I not see you in the garden with him?' Peter denied it, and at once the cock crowed." Now, turn the pages over just a few to chapter 21. Chapter 21, and we're going to dive in at verse 15. Jesus has been crucified, he has risen from the dead, and they are having a beach party. "When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John,'" so he's still talking to Peter, "'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' A second time, he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go.' And he said to show by what death he was to glorify God. And after this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" That is the totality of the scripture we're going to be looking at, because when we talk about failure in scripture, this is one of those moments where failure is just right there on display. Now I think I said last week that when we look at the Gospels and we look at the behavior, the questions of the disciples, they're pretty much portrayed within the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, within the Gospels, they're portrayed as people who really don't get it yet. They're still in the learning phase, and failure is a part of learning, right? Failure is a part of learning, because if you get something and you succeed, you may have learned a little bit, but if you get a job and you fail at it, you have some learning to do. You have some improvement to do. And that can be a struggle. And I think that might be one of the reasons why we fear failure so much. It's because it takes work to not fail. Peter today failed. And we will too. So this is what we're going to dive into it and see if we can see any of the parallels between us and Peter. So we're in that outer courtyard area. Back in chapter 18, we're in that courtyard area. And Peter is asked. Now, I'm not really sure how many times I've read this scripture, but just in this last one, I caught this line. In one of the servants of the high priest, a kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off. Do you remember that story from the Garden of Gethsemane? For those of you who don't know this story, Jesus knows he's about to be crucified, and he needs to get ready for this pivotal moment of his ministry on earth. He needs to prepare himself. He goes to God in prayer, and he's out there praying, and Judas has gone to betray Jesus. Judas is taking the soldiers out to arrest Jesus in this isolated garden, and in the process of this arrest, Peter draws his sword and hacks off somebody's ear. And Jesus stops him from getting too wild. He heals the ear. He puts the ear back on because, you know, Jesus. And he allows himself to be arrested. And apparently, the guy whose ear got cut off, if that was your cousin, if that was your brother, if you might recognize the guy who did that. You might have been paying attention to, hey, this is my family member who just got dismembered. You might recognize someone who did that to your family member. And so I think it's with some irony that John is writing this. A kinsman of the man whose ear Peter had cut off asked, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" This is not really a question. Peter denied it again. In the face of overwhelming witness to the fact that he was there, Peter denies it. In the face of following Jesus year after year after year, Peter denies Jesus. Because he was afraid. He was afraid of what was going to happen to him. He was afraid because Jesus had been arrested and he did not want to be arrested as well. He was afraid because he could see where this whole thing was going. He could see that this was a kangaroo court and anybody associated with Jesus was also at risk. He was afraid. and perhaps rightfully so. He was afraid, and so he denies Jesus. And so this morning I ask you the question, can you relate to Peter in this moment? Can you relate to Peter in this moment in which he denies Jesus? Because I sure can. I sure know what it's like to have the opportunity to talk about my faith and just not feel comfortable doing it. I know what it's like to have somebody challenge my faith and for me to walk away without stepping up to that challenge. I know what that's like when, in essence, somebody asks me, aren't you with Jesus? For me to say, I don't know the man. What? No, I think you got me confused with somebody else. Maybe you can relate to Peter as well. Can you relate to that moment when Peter said, I don't know him? Can you relate to the moment where the rooster crows and knowing in your heart that Jesus saw this coming? And then we get to the end of the book of John. We're within 5 verses of the end of this whole book. We're within 5 verses of the end of the Gospels. And as I said, they're having this reunion on the beach. I love the beach. I don't know. I love going to the beach. And I can only imagine what it would be like to just get up early and have that there. And Jesus had, you know, kind of done this miracle, right? And, you know, where did the fish come from? But then there they are. They build a fire on the beach and they're eating and they finish their breakfast. And Jesus asks them, Simon, now notice something. If you know the relationship between Simon and Jesus, when Jesus calls Simon Peter, Jesus is the one who gives him the name Peter, right? And what name is he using here? Simon. Simon. Simon, son of John. He's gone back to his original name. Names matter in the Bible. Where is he? Simon. You've been fishing. Simon was a fisherman before he decided to start following Jesus. And so Jesus died and Peter went back to what he knew. He left the path that Jesus had put him on. Simon, do you love me? Yeah, Lord, I know. I love you. I love you, man. Simon, do you love me? Yeah, Jesus, I love you. Simon, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Have you ever had God break down your walls? I heard recently that The average person is six poignant questions away from tears. If you could figure out which six questions to ask somebody, if they were willing to stand there and be the recipient of those questions and to honestly answer them, they would be six questions away from breaking down into tears. Peter, apparently, is three, and it's really just the same question repeated three times. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter denied Christ. He did the thing, after years of following, he just decides to not follow anymore and go back to what he was. He gives up. He turns his back on what it was that God had in mind for him, on what Jesus was calling him to, and what Jesus had invested years preparing Peter for. Peter just, no, I'm done with that. This is dangerous, this is hard, I don't want to have any part of it. But Christ isn't done with him. Feed my sheep. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Take care of these people that I'm giving you to take care of. Because you are Peter. That's what the book of John continues to refer to him as. Peter, the rock. For those of you who don't know, Peter means rock. Jesus says, I name you Peter because on this rock I will build my church. Peter, the guy who at Pentecost, just not that long after this, in fact, you know, you can, if this is the end of the book of John, you're probably looking at the book of Acts right across the page. Peter takes over as the leader when Jesus ascends. Peter takes over. Because he's ready. But what was it about this moment that made him ready? He had to overcome. Or more precisely, he needed help in overcoming. You see, Peter had to know what forgiveness was before he could share that good news message. Peter had to know what forgiveness was before he could preach forgiveness. And so, even in this failure, perhaps especially in this failure, Christ gives Peter something invaluable, both for Peter and through the Gospels for us. You see, Peter had a calling. God had a specific purpose in mind for Peter, and when Peter tried to walk away from that, God invited him back in. Jesus invited him back in, even though it broke Peter's heart. Jesus wasn't done with him. And Jesus is not done with us. Christ is not done with us. In whatever way we have failed God, in whatever way we have denied Christ, in whatever way God has watched us fall short. Two things. One, he knew it was going to happen because he created us and he knows these things. But two, He still calls us. He still calls us to overcome. Lifts us up so that we can overcome. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, said this, and these are my closing words to you. John Wesley said this, "Give me 100 men," and I would alter that to say men or women. "Give me 100 men or women who desire nothing but God and fear nothing but sin. And with such of these, I will storm the gates of hell." Today, I ask you, will you be one of those? Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, there are times when we have failed you. And we fear failure to the extent that sometimes we follow Peter, we follow Simon, right back out to the boats, and we just go on doing whatever else it was, because failure is hard, and it's easier not to try. And so, God, we ask that you would forgive us. Help us to know your forgiveness deep in our hearts. Help us to know the depths of your love for us that exceeds the depths of our depravity, that exceeds the amount of our denial, that grace that overcomes any sin that we might commit, that overcomes any failure to be obedient to you. Thank you, God, for giving us the victory. And all God's people said, amen.